enemy. You put death, you put sickness and disease under your feet. And we declare that Jesus is Lord over this place. We declare that Jesus has conquered all Satan's business in Jesus' name. And we worship you today. We bless you, Lord God. We bless you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. What a privileged people we are. What a privileged people we are, Noel. There's people walking around there with death on the inside of them. But we have the life of God on the inside of us. I'm going to talk this morning. Is this too loud? Is it all right? I'm going to talk this morning about transformation. Because when you get born again, there has to be a process of change. If there isn't, if you can't pinch yourself and say, oh, I've progressed over the past few years, then something's quite gone wrong there. If the hunger, the passion has wilted down, something has gone wrong there. If you fellowship with God every day, and it doesn't have to be hours in prayer, it's a heart attitude. If you're continuously communing with Him, you will draw strength from Him, and you will be full of passion and love. But put Him aside, put the Word of God aside, and you will sink back into carnality. Yes, you're born again. Yes, you're going to heaven. But there's no passion. There's no love. There's no tenderness. Because the heart has got cold. What I'm going to talk about today, I want to base on the cross this morning. Because to tell you to use your authority as a believer is no good unless I explain what happened on here. And I want us, will you be open to me this morning? I promise you I won't give you anything but what this backs it up. I'm proud to say, and not in a bad way, I love the Word of God. I study the Word of God. I kiss the Word of God because it delights me so much. And I don't have any expression how to do it, but just hug Him, hug His Word. I can't see Him, so I can hug His Word. But I love the Word of God because it has set me free. When He died on the cross, we as Christians, we look at Him hanging there. Imagine Him. The cross is not a nice place. It's a place of death. It's a place of slaughter. He was literally slaughtered for you and I. He was the Lamb of God. When Jesus hung on that cross, if it was really Him, blood would be pouring down all over this floor. Because He shed His blood. But there's a side of this that not many people know about. When He died, you and I died. He carried every single man's sin on Himself. When you see scriptures in Galatians 2:20 that I was crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me, ask yourself, what does that mean to me? You have to take this word personally. Don't just read it. Ask yourself, what does this mean to me? How is this going to affect my life? Is it going to change my life? Or will I just flip through the pages occasionally and just read it and then forgot about it? I was crucified with Christ. That's the word. No longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. It says that we were buried into His death in Romans 6. Look at it. Read it. Romans 6 is marvelous. It's just a powerful, powerful passage. We were baptized into His death. Imagine yourself hanging on there. In the eyes of God, you hanged on there with Him. When He went down, He became sin. He didn't just take your sins. He took your sin nature. Just to take your sins would not have been enough. You had death in you. When Adam sinned and was full of life, when sin came in, death came into him. So every man that was born after that, spirit was dead as far as God was concerned. So you went down into hell with Him. 3 days He was there. Satan because he'd been made sin, Satan had a perfect right legally, and God always does things legally, had a perfect right to hold him because he became sin. His very spirit was sin. Do you understand that? Had to happen. Otherwise, you couldn't receive the life of God. And so we were down there with him in the eyes of God. Remember, this is in the eyes of God. 3 days, Satan held him. Thought he had him. Probably had a party down there, rejoicing. Can you imagine those nasty, filthy, dirty devils screaming that they got the Son of God? No, they didn't, because God had a plan. Father God knew what he was doing. After the third day, the Holy Spirit went down there. Jesus shook off and stripped off himself every demonic spirit, because the Holy Spirit had now, he is the first begotten from the dead. That's who he is. Life came into him, quickened him up. Don't forget where we are. We're in him. We're in him. We're in him. We were raised. We were raised up into the heavenly places. And what did he do? He sat down. No other high priest had ever sat down in the holies of holies. He was the only one, because he paid the price for us. So when you think of yourself, don't look at Jesus just hanging on that cross. Learn to identify with him from the word. Read Galatians 2:20. Read Romans 6. And you'll find yourself in there, that I died with him. It's a wonder. And when he comes into you, your spirit now is one with him. I'm going to talk about, could I have the men just a minute, please? I know you saw this before, but this is good to remind us. Are you doing all right? Yeah. Just three. No, I'm sorry. Just three, sorry. Not all the men. Sorry, I should have been more specific. Sorry. Remember what we did? Huh? I know.
Inside its finest.
Huh?
I told you inside its finest.
Remember what we did? Does anybody remember when we talked about the heart? Anybody? Thank you. Up in the balcony there. Thank you. Anybody remember what we did with these guys? Yeah? What did we do, Rebecca? Who is this? Corey's the heart. He's the spirit. Yeah, this is you. This is what makes you up. This is your spirit. Holy, set apart. Thank you. Holy, set apart unto God. You don't have to be deeply concerned about your spirit, because the Holy Spirit, I'm going to hug him, is sealed. You're sealed. Your spirit man is sealed with the Holy Spirit. So he's okay. This is the one we have problems with.
That was the heart.
You are the heart.
Oh, got
it. The heart is made up of the mind, the soul, and your emotions. If you look in the Word of God, most times, 90% of the time, the heart. A lot of people say the spirit is the heart, but I've been studying this. No, the heart is the soul, mind, and emotions. And this is where the transformation must take place. If this one here does not line up with your spirit, you're going to stay a very shallow Christian. I know some of these things I'm going to say this morning, your flesh is not going to like it. But don't forget, this flesh here, bless his heart, doesn't have any mind of his own. But could you put your arm around Corey for me, please? Yeah, just buddy up. So here you are, you're born again, you're filled with the Spirit. But your heart is not renewed. Your mind is not renewed. Your soul, you haven't taken time to get into the Word. And so you're just as carnal thinking and negative thinking as what you were before you were born again. And you can stay like that for years. And your flesh will love it. Because everything that comes along that's sin, you'll give in to. Most of it. If you're told you can't eat chocolate and candy and cupcakes, oh, your flesh will love this because this carnal man here right now will yield to it. Yield to everything. But when you let go of that and this begins to cuddle up to your spirit man, then now, no, you can't. Now you've got harmony. Now you've got harmony. When the voice of God comes to you and says, Linda, would you do this? Would you go here for me? Would you do this? Go and give that person some money. Da, 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 da. This one will say, yes, yes, Lord. Why? Because it's submitted to the Holy Spirit and your spirit in here, which are one. And it's powerful. And God's looking for a people that won't argue with him. Because they haven't bothered to renew their minds. When he gets you like this, he can take you places. He can do things with you. You'll have a confidence. You'll have a boldness. When somebody needs some demons cast out of them, you'll have the boldness to do it. When the sick are there, you won't think twice about going laying hands on that and rebuking that sickness off of them. Can you see the difference? But if, move back over there. If you two stay together, you'll go to heaven. You'll go to heaven, but you'll never experience the real power and life that God has came to give us. Jesus paid a huge price so that we could live this life down here in the power of the Spirit every day. But you got to love Jesus. You got to talk to him. Talk to him about everything. Everything. He's not shocked. He knows everything anyway. And create that fellowship with him, that love relationship. Thank you very much. Thank you. Didn't they do a good job? I've got some on there. Yeah, I forgot about that. Okay, we're going to look at Romans 12. Have you got your Bibles? I know you got your Bibles because I could put some Bibles on there today. Romans 12. I do things like that so that you can remember them in your mind. We're going to talk about transformation. Okay, Romans 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, this is after you've got born again and filled with the Spirit. This is where you have to offer yourself to him. On a daily basis, to bring, because this soul wants to do what it wants to do. And so it's a constantly bringing yourself under the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. And be not conformed. That conformed means to be shaped and molded to this world, but be transformed. To be transformed is the process of being completely changed in your human nature. By the renewing of your mind, that you may be proved what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's a new way of thinking. And this is where it's so important. Because if you're caught up in pornography, which I was years and years ago. I'm an old lady now, but I did. My parents were very sexual people. They were very, both of them committed adultery. And they were not Christians, of course. And so there was things came down, and then they come down on the children if they're not dealt with. So me and my sister were very loose, if you want to call it that way. So when I became a Christian, I had to come through the process, even though I was married then, of beginning to change my mind, what was acceptable to my mind and what was not anymore. And I had to learn who I was in Christ. Because how can I use the authority that he has given me? Matthew 28:18. All authority has been given unto me, he said. Go ye therefore. We are his body on this earth. He is the head. We are the body. We're supposed to move with him. We're supposed to work with him. That's the way he's ordained it to be. So transformation is a process. Say, I'm in a process. Say it again. Yes. That's what you're in. You're not stagnant. If you're stagnant, you can do something about it. And I'm going to show you how today. Recently, my friend Melissa bought a house. I'm just going to compare our lives a little bit with this house. We went in, and when we first went there, the children there, they were teenagers, and they were all dressed in black. And it looked like they were into this goth thing. It's a dark thing, like a cult thing. And the place was dark. The curtains were dark. Everything was dark and dirty and very smelly because they reckoned that they'd been doing drugs and everything in there. Listen to this, because I'm going to compare this with us. When I walked in there, I thought, yeah, don't buy this. This is horrible. But I started to look around, and I saw the ceramic floors, and I saw the nice bathroom with all the tiles on it and everything. And I begin to think, this has potential. If we're willing to work on it, and when God looks at you and I, sometimes I wonder why he doesn't give up on us. But he sees the potential in us, Uit. He sees what can be in us. He sees how he's changing you into the image of his son. Because that's what he destined you for, Brad. He destined you to be shaped and molded into the image of his son. That's his purpose, that Jesus would be seen on this earth through you and I. That's the plan of God. Wonderful planner. So we went through this house, and Melissa decided to buy it. And the day we walked in there, the painters had already, the walls were dark orange, and they had that Stelco stuff that you normally put on the ceiling. It was all over the walls. And so the painters begin to go in. And when we went in there, the day that she got the keys, it was like it was had been transformed. It was light. It was beautiful. And then when the painters completely finished their job, it was like a completely new house. And you and I, to God, are new creatures in him. That's who we are. When he looks at you, always remember God is a spirit, and he'll commune with you and relate to you spirit to spirit. What the enemy will do is to look at yourself and say, I'm not a very good Christian, I'm not this and I'm not that. Cast that aside, because he sees you as perfect because you're in Christ. That's a big thing that can set you free. But realize what the enemy will do. He'll always point at your flesh and what you're doing. But Father God looks at you by his spirit. We went in there. We got our oil in Melissa's house. We got our oil and we started to pray in the spirit. And we started to deal with some spirits that we felt were there. So what were we doing? We were cleaning the house. We anointed everywhere with oil. We put the blood of Jesus over it. And I said to Melissa, now claim this house as yours. We put the blood over the doorposts of the house. It is now yours. You and I are the temple of the Holy Spirit. When Satan comes and say, why don't you have a little bit of pornography? Why don't you just try that? Can I talk bluntly to you today? Because this is where we live. Is that okay? It's okay. How many Christians and pastors are sitting in church that are hooked on pornography? I heard a pastor recently went to a church in America. 70% of the pastors came up because they're hooked on pornography. So let's not be proud or arrogant today. It's a nasty, it's a hook in a man's or woman's jaw. It's not just men either. It's a nasty thing. So when he comes to tempt you, remind him that you have been cleaned and swept clean and renewed by the Holy Spirit. Knowing who you are in Christ is extremely important. But I encourage you, do not take this word lightly. If you do, do you know what's going to happen if you take this word lightly? You're going to have a hard problem with life. Dealing with life. With your family. If you don't realize how God functions and how Satan functions, we have to bring him in it. A lot of times the church don't even mention him anymore. But he's active and alive, Tammy. He's still working on the earth. And we have to know how to handle him. But we have been given weapons of warfare, how to handle him. So we put the oil and the blood on the place, and we sanctified that place to the Lord Jesus Christ. This was the beginning of the transformation. As I said, the painters came, and then the transformation was completed. Part of being transformed, the actual word, means to think differently and to reconsider. I don't know about you, but I've had a lot of things I had to reconsider. I had a lot of wrong thinking in my mind when I came to Jesus. I had a lot of ways of doing things, being unforgiven, not liking to forgive people very much. I'm just being open with you today. I've had to reconsider. I've had to get transformed in that area because I can't afford to walk in unforgiveness. We've all got weak places, but learning how to deal with them according to the word. This is the word that transforms you. Okay. We've done that part. What we did to that house, there was a radical change, and the same in your spirit. God gave birth to your dead spirit with his Holy Spirit. To be begotten of God means to be given birth to. But so many born-again Christians never go through the transforming process. So they will never really grow up spiritually. It's our responsibility. Every time someone steps behind this pulpit, whoever it is, I'm not talking about me, anybody who's going to teach you the word of God, your ears should prick up. I wish we didn't go to church and say to each other, "Oh, is church good today? Yeah. Was the sermon good? Yeah. Did you get anything out of it? Well, yeah, I guess so." That is when this is a holy place. When anybody gets behind this and speaks the word of God, we need to listen to it. Because I'll be honest with you, you are now responsible. What I teach you today, what Pastor Joy teaches you, you are now responsible. A lot of Christians don't want to take responsibility for their own Christian life. And so you get people who are born 10, 15, 20 years, they want to be prayed for all the time. "Pray for me, Pastor. Pray for me." And there's nothing wrong with that. But there has to become a maturing. There has to come a growing up. There has to come a time when you fight the enemy for your family, especially men. You are under authority, under God's authority in your home. What you allow in there will be allowed, and what you disallow will be disallowed. But Satan will try very hard to keep us from knowing these things. When you know your authority, you have a boldness about you, not arrogancy, not pride. But you have a boldness about you. And God loves bold people. He loves people who know who they are in Christ. He loves us all, but he loves when he can get hold of you, Noel. Say, "Noel, go and lay that your hands on that man." And there's no, "Well, I don't think I prayed enough today," or "No, what will people think of me?" These things hold the church back from fulfilling their destiny. You have a destiny on your life. The Holy Spirit was given to you, Corey, to you, Noel, for a purpose. Not just to sit there and you live your own life, your own ways. When you became his, you became his. I had a wonderful husband, but I used to think, "I'm going to write a book about married to a single man." Because he never knew what it was to be faithful. He lived his life just as if he'd never married me. So we wanted the comforts of being married, but also the comforts of being a single man. And it don't work. And it doesn't work in the kingdom of God. When you gave yourself to Jesus, you gave yourself spirit, soul, and body. And he takes that. He takes you at your word. So when you fight him all the time, and you don't want to obey his word to love and to forgive and to care for him and to care for others, you're fighting against him. You're not letting him do what he wants to do in you. And as I say, there's great potential in every one of us, not in ourselves, but because we have the Holy Ghost. We can go on an adventure with him. Every day can be an exciting life. I was on a bus the other day, and I'm realizing how much we are led of the Spirit. And I missed my bus, and I was a bit upset about that. And then another bus came, and I saw a young woman standing there with a pram. And she was going like this, and the tears were coming. And I thought, "Ooh, shall I ask her what's up?" And she got on the bus, and I sat down next to her, and I said, "You look awful worried. Is there something wrong?" She said, "I've just lost my bag with all my documents, my cell phone, everything is gone." And I knew in my heart it wasn't a con, you know what I mean? Because people do this kind of thing sometimes. And this is not bragging on me. I just felt to give her a bit of money. And then somebody else gave her some money. And somebody gave her some bus tickets. And if I hadn't been on that bus that day, I wouldn't have had that opportunity. So every day you have opportunities to bless people, to speak some life to them, to tell them about Jesus. And let's not make Jesus this little Jesus that the church has represented. He is all powerful. He is almighty. He's all conquering. It's like we need a fresh look at Jesus to see him now. If we saw him now, how he is exalted in the heavenlies, Noel, if we saw him, he's got flames coming from him. He's like gold and brass. He's all powerful. Nothing can stand against him. Nothing. But the church has lacked because they didn't know that. All fear would be gone from us in every area of our life if we knew who he was and that we are in him. Amen? This is a powerful gospel. So we can be shaped and conformed to the world, or we can be renewed in our minds. You can soon tell where we are by what is coming out of our mouths. There's been times when I didn't want to say something, and I've got into a conversation. And wouldn't you know, I said the very thing that I did not want to say. And I didn't say it with love, because it had been sitting there. It had been boiling on the pot, on the stove, as we say in England. It had been boiling there. And then I happened to be around that person, and I say, "Oh, hi." You know, like we do as Christians. "Hi, how are you?" And then something just come flying out my mouth because it had been sitting in my heart. So you can tell, not that I want you going around judging everybody, but you can tell where people are. If you hear a Christian say, "Oh, you wait and see, my mum's got Alzheimer's, I'll be the next." Oh, yay, 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 yay. Shut your mouth. Don't prophesy over yourself. Sip it if you can't say something good. But get into this, and then life will come out of your mouth. Be conscious what's coming out of your mouth. Because words are death or they're life. They will mold you and shape you in whatever way you're going to go. You hear people say, "Oh, that just tickled me to death." Woo, yikes. That should not be coming out of us. And the thing about it is, are we perfect? No, we're not perfect. But those words shouldn't be coming out of our mouth. And plus, the Holy Spirit is listening. Satan's listening. you keep saying to a child, you know, and this is a sad thing, you go on that road, you're going to be killed. You can warn them in a different way than that. Because you're speaking, you're speaking, you're speaking. I told you about my brother-in-law. And I'll repeat it again because it's so good. He had 12 siblings, and every one of them at 59 years old dropped dead. And I met him when he was 30. And for 29 years, he said to me, "You wait, Linda. One day, I'll drop dead." And he'd say it to me and say it to me. And I say, "Oh," his name was Tick. I said, "Tick, you shouldn't talk like that." "No, no, 11 brothers and sisters are all gone. They all just dropped dead." So one day we get a phone call from England. He was fixing somebody's fire. And he, boom, just dropped dead. I'm not asking you to be picky over your words so you get to the point that you're not saying, "Oh, I better not say that." But no, no. It's that constant prophesying. It's that constant speaking over your lives. People who, allergy time again. I'm going to get allergies again. Oh, it's flu season. You wait. I'll be the first to get that flu bug. You're prophesying. You're speaking. "Oh, I was just joking." That's what a lot of people say to me. "Oh, I was just joking." Yeah, but we belong to a spirit realm that doesn't understand joking. Satan takes you at your word. And so does Jesus. I know that's hard to hear, but it's true. It's true. So either we're being renewed and conformed to this world. What you watch, what you look at is all either aiding you or it's destructive to you. Either one or the other. Think about what you speak. Romans 8. Let's look at Romans 8. You're awful quiet. Are you all right? Yes? Good. Romans 8. "There is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." So today, this is not a condemning message. This is a freedom message. Please don't take it that way. God always wants us to get free in layers. Just keep on that process. Go down to verse 5. "But they that are of the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded." What is carnally minded? Carnally minded just means to be fleshly minded. That's what it basically means. "For carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. For the carnal mind is hostile against God, for it's not subject to the law of God." So as we said earlier, you can stay in that carnal state. We're all very carnal when we come to Jesus, unless you were born again when you're like 3 or 4 years old. I was 30, so I was well set and formed in my lifestyle. So I needed a complete transformation. We either live lives being spiritually minded or carnally minded. To grow up spiritually, we must be in a process of renewing our minds to think that like God does. Let's look at James 1. You know, I encourage you to bring your Bibles so that you can look at the Word. Because there's something about looking at the Word of God. James 1, verse 21 to 25. "Here's how to save your soul," right here. "Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted Word, which is able to save your souls." If you need renewing in your mind, get the Word in you. Let it be. Meditate on it. We meditate every day. Right now you're meditating on something. Right? I can see a brain ticking over there. Every day we are. We might as well meditate on the Word of God. To grow up spiritually, we must renew our minds. There is grace to change. We are in a continual battle. This is the side of it I like. For our minds by Satan. He knows if you receive his thoughts, he can control a lot of what you do and what you look at. Have a look at yourself, not in a condemning way, and say to yourself, how much has Satan got a place of my thought life? How much is he controlling my actions? I believe in being honest with yourself. And say, okay, am I thinking God's thoughts? Am I thinking his ways? Or am I going just in the carnal way? Am I accepting sickness and disease on my bodies when I shouldn't be accepting it? Am I allowing Satan to take a foothold of depression and oppression on me that I should not be doing? And there's no condemnation if you are, but I'm just telling you there's freedom from that. And as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. That to me is one of the most powerful statements there is. As you think, so you are. As you think, so you will speak. As you think, so you will act. Powerful. This is why the battle is for the mind. I have bought a book today. If any of you can find it and buy it. I've had this for 10 years by Joyce Meyer. Is one of the best. I don't read it like a book. It's a manual to me. It's something that I keep going and having a look at. When I'm having problems with my mind, I go and find myself in here, and because it talks about the wilderness of your mind, and it just instructs you how to get out of it and how to change. It's extremely a good book. There's another one by E. Hagen. The authority of the believer. Get these things. Beloved church, we are in training. This is not just going to church on a Sunday. That's not the vision that God had for his church. Can I hear an amen? And right now he's trying to shake us and wake us up to what is reality as far as what he is concerned. That's what awakening means. I looked at that word. It means to bring back to what is real. And the church is not doing what it should be doing or living the way it should be living. But like, again, I say, don't be condemned by that. Just say, okay, God, help me, give me the grace to study, to read, to buy yourself books like this. Everything I said about the cross, but being seated in heavenly places is in here. Read it. Let your mind see it. Let the word of God change you. And then I have another book. It's called The Overcomer's Handbook. A friend of mine, Pastor Ian, he wrote this. It's a confession book. Every day you can find any subject you want in here. I'll just give you a little example here. This is what I pray over myself. I let this attitude be in me, which was also in Christ Jesus. I refuse to be conformed to this world's way of thinking. I will not live a purposeless life. The whole spirit and attitude of my mind is being renewed in conformity to the new man in who I am. I set my affections and thoughts on things which are above, not on things of the earth. I acknowledge every good thing that is in me in Christ Jesus. Every subject that you want is in here. Get these kind of books. This don't take long. I read this for 10 minutes in the morning and at night time. What's it doing? It's getting the word in me. My ears are hearing it. My spirit is saying it. I'm getting built up. Train yourself. Yes, the pastors and people behind there are part of that training. But if you don't do it, nothing will happen. You understand? So it's a great responsibility that we have. And it's a delightful thing. It's not a hard thing to do. Sometimes I pick this up in the morning and I'm not what you call a cheery waker. It takes me about half an hour to wake up. I like to be very quiet when I get up because I'm sleepy, right, Gary? Yes. But when I pick this up, it puts a spring in my step, makes me see the day better. I'm going to have a good day today. This is going to be a Holy Ghost day for me today. See, this is what's changing you. The word of God will change you. If you don't put that in there, all you've got is the world coming at you all the time. On your phones, on your internet, on the television, negative, 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 death and negative. I used to watch the news a lot. I'm getting so I can't even watch it much anymore because it's so depressing. It's all killing and everything, everywhere. So go for these kind of books, and it will help you. Satan wants control of your mind. I don't care who you are. If he can put thoughts into your mind and keep building them up, there's a process in James that shows us the process of sin. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. It's chapter 1, verse 12. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. Let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But listen to the process of sin. For every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. So if you end up sinning and doing something, there's been a process of thoughts that's had to build up in your mind. If Satan's telling you to steal and you don't deal with those thoughts and let them build up, and let build up, one day you might find yourself in a store and take something because he's found some place in you. Okay. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust has been conceived, there has to be thoughts. People who commit adultery, and I'm not putting down anybody because I've done it years and years and years and years ago, but it's under the blood now, so I know what the temptation is like. But anyone who did that didn't wake up one morning and say, I'll do that today. There's been a process of thoughts that build up. And please understand me, I'm not putting down anyone. I have no, if you knew my life, even as a Christian sometimes, it's not been what it should have been. But there's forgiveness with us, and we go on and we get better because of the grace of God. So don't anybody go out here feeling condemned today. I'm trying to expose the enemy. I'm trying to teach you this morning how he comes. And he doesn't just lay you on and you do something right away. Some thoughts have built up. And when it's conceived, then you act on it. Most people would never go out in the morning and steal. You didn't get up this morning and say, oh, when I go to the store today, I think I'll steal something. No, you didn't, because most people wouldn't ever dream of doing that. Most people wouldn't dream of fornication or pornography. But when those thoughts can build up into a stronghold and conceived in you and bring forth fruit in you, it's like a tree growing in there, you will carry out, unless you're an extremely strong person, you will carry out what those thoughts have been. So learn that. Learn to catch those thoughts quick. Rebuke them. Get them off of your mind. When I was studying for this yesterday, it's like my whole mind was just flooded with thoughts. I felt like I needed a tennis bat. Boom. Another one would come. Boom. I felt like I was doing that all day long. And then I'd get a peace of mind, and I'd get studying and writing down something else. Boom. And another would come. Boom. I thought, oh my goodness, I don't think you like this message today, Satan. But hard luck. James 4:7 says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. What does resist mean? It means to oppose, to stand against. And you can do that in Christ Jesus. You don't have to cry out to God to do something about the devil. You can do it. You have the authority because of you died with him, buried with him, you're risen with him. You have the power and you have the authority in his name. That's why Jesus' name is such a beautiful name. 1 Peter 5:9 says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. When we know God and his word and that he has given us authority over the devil, who really does not want us to find that out, it will build into us boldness and confidence to deal with Satan and to deal with in your family's lives. The word is an armor. If we look at Ephesians 6, and I'm going to close soon. Have you got anything out of this morning? Not because of me. Doesn't matter. Because God is trying to teach us. God wants us to walk in freedom. And we can. We've got no excuse. Because it's all in here. Ephesians 6. Okay, I'm going to read a good bit of this. When we get to take offenses and when we get into confrontations with people, we need to remember that we're not wrestling with flesh and blood. For we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, the rulers of darkness, who are every day we have to deal with. The world against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, what is our part? Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand. He didn't say put the armor out and then go and shout and scream to try and rebuke the devil. It didn't say that. Spiritual warfare is a fight of faith. That's what it is. And you deal with the enemy by using the word. When I was the first a Christian, I used to scream and yell at the devil so much I used to keep losing my voice. The Holy Spirit said to me, he's not obeying you because you're yelling and shouting at him. He'll obey you because you give him the sword. If a man came into Noel's house, Noel won't stand there and say, oh, what have you come for? Oh, well, I just come to steal and kill from your family. Oh, okay. All right, you can stay a little while. No, what would he do? He'd get his baseball bat out and give him 1, 2, 3, and out the door he'd go. Right? But children of God, we don't do that. We let Satan torment us. We let him put guilt and condemnation on us. And we don't need to do that. What does it say there? Wherefore, take unto you, you, me. The whole armor of God, that we may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, knowing that you're righteous, that Jesus became sin, that you might become righteous. You are righteous. You don't grow in righteousness. You are righteous. Right now, whether you feel it or not, righteousness, because of the Holy Spirit, is in you. What does that mean? That means you've got right standing into the throne room of God. You can approach God any time of the day. If you've messed up, don't run from him, run to him. That's the best advice some preacher gave me years ago. Don't run from him, run to him. He sees you anyway. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what we're doing. He knows everything. But he's so loving and so full of grace and mercy. He say, come on, come on, come on, you can come. It's beautiful what Jesus did for us. Okay. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith. That shield of faith there is like the big Roman soldiers had. It's like a door. It covers the whole part of you. One day I was sitting on the bed and I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, I was going through a real bad time in my mind, and I heard him say to me, shield yourself. And it made me kind of jerk up and say, yeah, I put that shield of faith up against the enemy today. And I started worshiping and praising God, and the whole thing changed, the whole atmosphere, because we are connected to a spirit realm constantly. Constantly, and we can change things. Have you noticed if you're down, if you put worship and praise on, it will just change the atmosphere around you? You might not feel like it at the time, but it works because it's a weapon of the enemy. The word is our armor. It is there to protect us. The only part of the armor that is offensive and active is the sword of the Spirit. And that's where you have to use it against the enemy and tell him to get out of your life. Our attitude to the word of God will define what our lives will be like. Think of that. Your attitude and my attitude, how much importance I believe that I cannot live without this word on a daily basis. I don't know what's happened to the church the last few years. I was brought up, and I am going to close in a minute. I was brought up with the Word of Faith movement. Brother Hagin, all those who taught and taught us the word. And I'm so thankful because, you know, when I went through the divorce with my husband and the adultery and everything, I knew the word. I knew how to stand. Even though I was crying buckets, I knew what the word said because it had been built in me. And that's what God wants for his church. Do you think a father wants you run over by the devil? No. Would you like your children to be run over by a car? No. I hate this when Christians say, oh, God made me sick. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. Never. Never, never, never. It's all religion. It's a lack of knowing who he is and who we are. So our attitude, I know I'm repeating myself this morning, but I'm doing it for a purpose. Our attitude to the word of God will define what our lives will be like. No faith, no word. A lot of word, a lot of faith. And our spirits run on faith, just like a car does on gasoline. If you want to get weak spiritually, put this in the cupboard and shut the door. When the battles come, you're not going to have much to fight with. That makes me feel sad because this is where a lot of Christians are. I don't mean to be serious or heavy today, but when you pray, when you're an intercessor and you pray, well, all of us should pray, you begin to understand what's going on in the church. And God only lets you know that, and I mean the church, because he wants us to pray about it and to change things. It's not all up to God. Get that out of your mind. Well, if God wants me to grow, then he'll just do it himself. No, that's wrong. We see such a lack of interest in the word of God in the church, and yet it will show up in our lives if we don't use it on a daily basis. The more we study and meditate on the word, the more we will be changed. And I end with 2 Corinthians 3:18. And this is what he wants. But we with open face, beholding in the glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. The more you yield to the Spirit of God, and the more you get in this word. I've told you before, if you're so busy that you haven't got time for it, take one scripture. Take one scripture every day. And say, I'm going to meditate on that scripture today. That's 7 scriptures a week. That's 28 scriptures a month. I had to stop and think. 31 if it's a 31-day month. You think of that over a year? Wow. One scripture. He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. You could go all around each day when you've got time. Just let those thoughts go into your mind. And then the next day, get another one and think about it. When you're washing the floor, Noel, or whatever you do, what you do, think about it. Because like I said, we're always thinking about something. Okay, let us pray. Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for your word that will not return unto you void. We thank you, Father God, for giving us a heart that will go after you, and a soul that will line up with your spirit, and a heart that will say, yes, I yield to you, Father. I yield to you, Holy Spirit. And I just thank you and I praise you, Father God, that you don't give up on us. You keep working with us, Lord Jesus, because you love us so much. And I just thank you and praise you today. And just while your heads are bowed, I just want to ask if there's anyone in here. I'm pretty sure you all know Jesus. And if you don't, you can come to know him today. And Father God, I just thank you and I praise you for your love and your mercy to us. In Jesus' name, amen.